Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes. It is Saturday, August the 4th, 2012. I'm coming to you from up by Ottawa, Canada. And I have my co-host on here, Dee. Hi, Dee. How are you? Dee Nicholson.
I'm good, fine, wonderful, I suppose, considering the alternative, Christopher, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, having a hard time adjusting being back from going out west.
Yeah, and I guess,
I had a hard time knowing what to fix my attention to, and I'm still not sure of that, you know.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, you actually accidentally, you've hit on probably the biggest problem that humanity has right now. And that is the fact that there are so many issues and so many things that are so wrong out there that you don't know which one to chase.
Yeah, exactly,
and, you know, I mean, it is totally overwhelming, but it is all totally planned to be that way. There's no question about it. It's totally planned to be that way. And, of course, that falls under the category of divide and conquer. And so, you know, I'm finding it really hard these days because, you know, I've got a lot of email contacts. A lot of people follow what I say and what I do and the commentaries that I make on things. And what I'm finding is, of course, these people reciprocate, and they send me issues that they're concerned about. And I'm going, hang on here. There has to be some kind of a common thread that is going to be a linchpin to all of these different things, because there's got to be a reason why all of these things are going on at once, and only little pockets of people seem to be concerned.
Yeah, and it's so overwhelming, as you say. It's hard to say. It's like all these issues are important that everybody brings up, but there's just so much space we can have kind of for promoting different issues.
Exactly. There's so much time. I mean, I get all this stuff from, you know, the Sea Shepherd people, and I get it from the petition sites and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm going, hang on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of these issues can set anything but that one issue right.
Yeah.
That's the problem that I see. Because if there's all these issues, well, what's the core? What's the common ground? What do we see as common ground? Because the truth is going to be found on the common ground, always. Always. You know, you spent, I don't know how many years, investigating all of the ancient religions, and haven't you found the truth to be common ground between all of them?
Yes, exactly.
So, so analogizing from your own work, you can see that there's got to be common ground here. Well, the common ground is basically, it's a mirror image. Okay, your common ground consists of, you've got on the one side a population that is living in a paradigm and is terrified to have the paradigm taken away, therefore will reject just about every major issue that is going on. And then on the flip side, you've got governments and multinational corporations and committees and agreement groups and all this kind of stuff going on that are directing us in the background. And what are they doing? Well, they're providing as many multifarious issues as they possibly can to keep the sheeple running after the different carrots here, there, and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Because if the sheeple ever catch on to the one carrot that's the biggie, in other words, the head of the snake, and we all know you got to kill the head of the snake to fix anything, right? What's the head of the snake? Well, I've been saying it for, 10, 12 years now, easily 10, 12 years. It's the trade agreements.
The trade agreements.
Yep. And this is what is so scary to me. You know, I was in my MPP's office a couple of weeks ago, and he's an NDP guy by the name of Peter Tappins. And Peter's a fighter. I have to say that, you know, He's people first, party second kind of guy, which I really appreciate. Of course, it's kept him on the back benches all these years. But anyways, I asked him, you know, what he knew about the CETA agreement, the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement with the European Union, which, by the way, is another international obligation superseding our ability to make law against it. And there are 27 European Union nations and one of us.
Wow.
So Canada says Canada wants this, and 27 nations say no. What do you think Canada's chances of having what it wants are? Now, I ask Peter Tabbins, what does he know about CETA? And he says, not an awful lot. And I said, have you ever heard of Shelley Ann Clark? He says, no, I haven't. Well, you and I have heard very well of Shelley Ann Clark, haven't we? And we know that she was the executive assistant to Germain Denis, who was the third guy on the totem pole in the original 1987-88 free trade agreement between Canada and the United States. And when I told Peter that, in fact, no Canadian premier ever saw the actual agreement, all of their agreements were typed individually and specifically set up so that each of the premiers would think that their province was getting most of what they wanted. Okay, and that way, if information about that trade agreement had leaked, then they'd know exactly who did the leaking. Well, in the meantime, she also has aired very well the fact that that agreement was never, ever seen by any Canadian outside of the people who put it together and signed it. It was never seen by anybody.
Yeah, that is terrible. Absolutely.
Yeah, remember she told us that they put them in the National Archives building, but the only thing you could see, because it was in a glass case, was the title page.
Yeah.
And now where is it? Where is it? It's in the Diefenbaker bunker, 50 clicks north of Ottawa, and it's been declared an issue of national security.
Wow.
Okay, so these trade agreements, I said to Peter, I said, with Harper in power, that was Mulroney. I said, with Harper in power, I said, what do you think the odds are that the provinces are being told the truth here? And he just, his eyes started rolling in his head. He went, oh, my God. You know, like, what chance do we have of ever seeing the CETA agreement before we're obligated to 27 nations who couldn't give a crap less about Canada?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
it's interesting how you see at the head of the snake is the trade agreements, because I would have thought it was like the Illuminati. How would, see, I mean, the trade agreements
Well,
are just...
Listen, Peter, or Christopher, who's driving the bus is not the issue. The issue is, where's the bus going and how is it getting there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because people don't understand. They hear about the Illuminati, and they hear about New World Order, and they hear about one world government, and yada, 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 and on and on and on. And I've heard nothing but that crap for, over a decade now and more. And the thing is, nobody ever comes out and says, exactly how are they doing it? They do it in a fractionalized way. For example, Mike Adams, the health ranger on naturalnews.com, he's come out a few times and talked about the United States' sovereignty in health freedom. Okay, well, there's one little leaf on the tree. Health freedom is but one little leaf on the tree.
Yeah.
And what he's pointing to is an issue that is only of concern to a measured number of people around the world, as we all know, those who care about natural health. They're not in the majority.
Yeah.
They're not. So, consequently, that issue is easily buried because it stands alone. Mm-hmm. It's this standing alone bit that is problematic because people can't see the same mechanism over and over and over again, even though it's like a big spot of yellow in a whole bunch of paintings in an art gallery, they're not noticing that the yellow spot in all of these paintings is the common denominator and asking, why is that yellow spot there?
Yeah.
In all of them. And so what I've been trying to do, and believe me, I fought health freedom group after health freedom group to stop them from thinking that their government is the last arbiter on their health freedom. Because it hasn't been for years we've been signed to trade agreements. And for years we've been obligated for through operations. Like, why do you think the World Trade Organization and the World Health Organization were among the first or groups that we joined? It's because their purview was so vast. Okay? They put the big footprint down first. And that was with the UN, the World Trade Organization, and the World Health Organization. Between those three, they put the big footprint down. There it was. There's all the methodology that people have been talking about, Meyer, Amschel, Rothschild, and 1760, and what's been going on for 250 and more years, and how patient they've been to set this all up. But nobody knows how. And I'm trying to tell people, look, this is how, and look what Harper's doing right now. Harper is pushing for the finalization of the CETA agreement before the end of this year. What does CETA do? Well, it opens literally every resource and every utility and every trade and every economic sector that we have to foreign competition. And when they come in and take away all of these goods and services that we Canadians supply to each other and stimulate our own economy with, just try and get them back. And this is what I'm trying to tell people. It's not just health freedom. It's every freedom. Why do you think the Constitution is being so roundly ignored in both Canada and the United States? It's because it doesn't really exist anymore because trade obligations supersede it. It's domestic law. And people think that, oh, well, we have a Constitution. We're protected. Well, no, you're not. Because all of our governments have signed away our right to use our Constitution in our own defense. So this is, I mean, when you talk about the head of the snake, this is one nasty, big snake like you would see in a movie.
Wow. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And but the mechanism that they use is so simple. It's so dead simple. It is stunning to me that I've been screaming about this stuff for 10 years. And that so few have understood. It's stunning to me because the mechanism is easy. Get your country to join a club. Make one of the rules of the club is that in order to participate in the club and get the benefits of belonging to the club, you have to do what the club wants. And your nation goes, okay. And now you're stuck. Now,
yes.
If people want to confirm that, where do they have to go? Well, it's easy. WorldTradeOrganization.org, like WTO.org. Okay, they've got a page on that website that's titled Sovereignty. Okay, you go read that. You'll find out real quick that is exactly the way it works. And now you look at how many trade agreements.
How do you mean that?
How do you link that? Well, if you are going to agree to operate, govern, and in the words on the website are govern your sovereignty according to the wishes of the group, that means every sovereign decision you make has to be approved by this group. Now, who's the group? How the hell do we know? We don't elect them. We don't have access to them. We don't have grievances against them that we can file. We have no court that can attack them. Right? We have no vote at all at that committee, and it is made up of more foreigners than nationals. So where's your government at? How can your government enforce or legislate anything except minor stuff that isn't in the way of these trade groups? Now, I found something real interesting happened a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how many people noticed. I noticed for another reason. Okay? Now, I noticed about a month ago I was tipped off to this Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. This is another big and nefarious trade agreement that is being sought after by Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Malaysia, all of those South Pacific countries, and the United States. Now, Harper wants in on that, but we're blocked. Canada has only observer status at these meetings. In other words, we're being allowed to observe it, but we can't take credit for it. We can't get involved in it. Why? Because the U.S. doesn't want us there. Why? Well, because our feet are being held to the fire over two issues. Okay? The first issue is our agriculture / dairy regulations. Well, we know which ones those are because Dr. Shiv Chopra and his team fought for years, were wrongfully dismissed, and were treated like criminals because they exposed that bovine growth hormone put into Canadian dairy products was going to be not only harmful to the cattle, but also harmful to human beings. And they refused to approve it. Okay, well, guess what? The United States does have bovine growth hormone in its dairy products. And those big dairy companies south of the border, those big annexed CAFO farms where they've got basically the animals live in a building, they never go outside. They never see the light of day. You know, they're well kept in terms of their actual physical needs, but they're not happy cows. They can't be happy cows. They're vaccinated to the hilt. They're full of antibiotics. Terrible. They're full of hormones. Okay, and these companies, if we keep our regulations, will not be able to sell their milk to Canadian citizens. Now, will they? So that's a barrier to trade.
Yeah.
So the United States wants us to back off on those regulations.
Yeah.
Okay, now the other thing that they wanted was they wanted a relaxing of our intellectual properties regulations, which protect authorship in this country, and we have several automatic clauses that protect copyright. You know, everybody knows that if you want to copyright anything, mail it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all you got to do, and it's automatically copyrighted under Canadian law, right?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They changed all kinds of things about all of that intellectual property stuff at the Supreme Court about 2 weeks ago. Gee, I wonder why they did that.
And what did they make it?
Like, well, they took away some of our relaxed intellectual property legislation that would protect the individual. Okay? And, of course, all of this has to do with surveillance and everything else, right? But that was one down. And how did that happen? I mean, we all know that when the Supreme Court gets a hold of something, you're not going to see it again for a good long while, right?
Because
they take their sweet time in doing anything. That's how they make those big bucks.
Yeah.
But here we are with, curiously, right when Harper's trying to get into the TPP, you know, like his life depends on it, what happens? Suddenly the Supreme Court has this real fast issue on the table about intellectual property rights, and this right and that right is gone. And gosh, that's just what the U.S. wants. So what's going to be happening with our dairy? Now, that one's going to be hard for them because Shiv Chopra has already stomped his foot.
Yeah, well.
And Canadians know very well about bovine growth hormone, so good luck on that one, pal. Good luck on that one. They may get around it by opening the doors to bovine growth hormone, but saying it has to be on the package.
When Harper wants in on these different trade agreements, what's the kind of basis for the whole thing? Like,
because every time he signs one, it's another stitch in the New World Order blanket. It's another another committee.
Yeah.
Now, consider this, okay? Consider that there, I sent out a graphic that appeared in the National Post. I mean, I can't spout the link off the top of my head, but if you were to go go and search at the National Post for their graphic archives and look for the free trade agreements that Harper has signed since coming to power. Well, when he came to power, there were four of them. Now there's 10 more, plus he's got another 12 under negotiation that I know of.
Wow.
And he's got his eyes on as many. There's over 50 of them.
Wow.
Okay, so now consider the United States hasn't not been signing trade agreements. We're just not hearing about it because it's supposedly irrelevant to Canadian news. Well, it's relevant in my mind, but hey, I'm odd, right? But at any rate, what's going on is every time they sign a trade agreement, they got a new set of rules between this country and those countries. Okay, can you imagine now with all of these multifarious trade agreements, can you imagine that every single one of them actually abides by the same rules? Or would you generally predict that, well, with that much going on and that many agreements, they're bound to trip over each other?
Well, the latter, but...
Yeah, exactly. So what would that necessitate?
Well, international court or commission.
Exactly. A platform. Mm-hmm. It would necessitate a platform. Okay? In other words, a platform to govern all these agreements, which govern all the countries. There's your world government. Boom. One fell swoop. And people wouldn't know what hit them. There's no voting. There's no election. There's no referendum. There's no moratoriums. There's no nothing. And they've done it. How did they do it? By the most innocuous means. And by saying, if you're against trade agreements, you're against trade, and then, you know, that's our economy, and how would we live, and who would you work for? And all. You see where they've stuck us? In that corner. And the only way out is to abrogate every last one of them. Because that's the only way Canadians gain control of their country. Now, how to unring that bell?
Yeah, I mean, how likely are Canadians able to come together to outlaw all these trade agreements? I mean,
and in the meantime, every single one of them that happens to be not of the wealthy variety, every single one of them is struggling and afraid.
They're afraid, you're saying?
Oh, of course they're afraid. They're afraid that if this paradigm that they innately know is wrong. They know it's techno-feudalism, if you want to put a label on it. They know they're being ripped off, and yet it's the only way they perceive they can survive. What do? You go along to get along, don't you? And that's where most people are. And this is why it's so difficult. You see somebody who is absolutely oblivious of what's going on, and you shake them, and you shake them, and you shake them. And because they're so asleep, because it's so much easier to be blissfully ignorant, they're liable to take a sock at your jaw for trying to wake them up. And this is how bad it is. And then on top of that, what do you got? Well, you got chemtrails. Then you you got fluoride in the water. You got EMF floating around like soup in the air that people can't see it. They can't smell it. They can't taste it, so they think it's not there.
Yeah.
And we're walking around literally in a constant microwave oven, but that's okay, because I can work my iPad. My God. You know, and then they look at me and they go, oh, you're techno-dumb, you're old. I'm going, no, I'm techno-smart, you're techno-dumb. That stuff's killing you, and you don't even know it. And you don't want to hear it because it's more important that you connect with your friends on Facebook and Twitter your lives away in front of a technological device than it is for you to actually be alive, be healthy, be happy, and have freedom. Well, okay, if that's what you want, they're handing it to you on a silver platter. I hope you're happy.
Wow, it's amazing for me lately watching the chemtrails and seeing how they're doing it now, how they're kind of just doing short bursts in the sky, and how they'll do a whole area, but they'll just do short bursts in the sky.
Yeah, well, you know what? They got a new trick. They got a new trick. I just discovered it last night. You know, we've been seeing a lot of cloud here in Toronto. And, of course, some of it looks pretty strange. And you know it's seeded cloud. So they're moving in from somewhere. But where are they moving in from? Well, that's where they were seeded. Right? So they weren't seeded in Toronto. And conspicuously, there haven't been an awful lot of chemtrails that I've seen in the skies in Toronto lately. I'm going, wait a minute, this is a little odd. So it happened last night. Was a particularly nice evening out. It was 23 degrees, you know, it's a nice evening, and I wasn't tired, and I was up, so I went outside onto my patio at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And what do I see in the full moonlight? A chemtrail.
Oh.
Now, this is the first time in a very, very, very long time I've seen chemtrails late at night.
Yeah.
They're usually late in the daytime. So what I'm seeing, I'm extrapolating, of course, but I don't think I'm logically too far out of the ballpark here by saying that they're spraying at night now when people can't see it. And then that way they're saying, oh, what, chemtrails? Oh, we've cut back on that. Well, you can't hear these ding-blasted drones. They're so far up you can't hear them.
No.
They don't make any noise.
No.
Right? And if they're that high up and laying chemtrails in the middle of the night, you're not going to see them unless you're out there looking at the stars.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, it's getting real interesting. The more we seem to know, the more they adjust so they make us wrong.
I just saw an interesting thing in the Ottawa Citizen paper. It says, cases of dementia set to soar. In the front page, Eastern Ontario.
Oh, better invest now.
Yeah, exactly. Invest in the old age homes.
Well, what that means is invest in the drugs that they use.
Yeah.
Right? To treat dementia. That's a signal.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody's out there making money off the poor people's backs by investing in stocks, well, there's your hint for the year.
And that's what people, it's, one wonders who gets into these things, like who are these elites that kind of crawl through these spaces of all these old age homes?
Yeah, well, you'd be amazed. I mean, people seem to think that, you know, a millionaire is wealthy, okay? They think that somebody who has, you know, a quarter of $1 billion or, you know, or 20 million or even 30 million, they think they're extremely wealthy. Well, they are in comparison to most of us. But in comparison to the river of wealth that flows into the hands of the actual top bankers in the world, because they all are bankers,
yeah.
It seems that in order to be an elite, you have to be a banker, because that's where the income stream goes. And we're seeing now that they've manipulated interest amongst themselves, and now you got the LIBOR scandal and everything else. And the ones who were smartest in the world were the people of Iceland, who kicked them all out and put them in jail.
Yeah, that was neat, eh?
You know, but gee, that didn't make mainstream news too much, did it?
No.
In fact, it was shut down almost. It did appear, but it was shut down, and the details weren't given. And you don't hear about Iceland anymore. Why don't you hear about Iceland? Well, because they did what was right. They returned themselves to a sovereign nation. They said, screw you, and rightly so. And the people took back their power. But Iceland, people don't recognize, for example, that the government of Canada would be so easy to knock off, that the banks in Canada would be so easy to bring down. They don't envision that. Because they see from their individual perspective and they think, I'm one guy against a battleship. How's this going to happen? It's not one guy. It's 33 million people if they bloody well wake up. You know, if they would just take a look. Come on, people. These things are in mainstream news. Can you not add two and two?
Well, what do you think when people look at the Canadian banks? What do you think they see?
They still think that Canadian banking regulations are strong and protected them through the world recession, we did better than a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason we did better than a lot of countries is because we are so full of resources, not because of our banking regulation.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
But the bottom line there is, at the same time as Harper was playing fast and loose, was saying, look, our banking regulations protected us. We're so brilliant. He was giving those regulations away by signing on to the latest Basel Agreement, which is the bankers getting together to determine how exactly they're going to govern their banks.
Wow.
And he signed it. At the G20 in 2010, he held a press conference at the end of it. And, of course, because he had been touting the strength and protectiveness of our bank regulations, some wag in the press corps asked him, well, what about our banking regulations that are so good, and now we're giving up our sovereignty in terms of running those regulations and protecting Canadians? And what did Harper say? This is a direct quote. You can Google it on YouTube or search it on YouTube. It is still online. And he says, I know a lot of people don't like it, and it is a loss of sovereignty, but it's a simple fact of life. That's what he said. Then, let's go further. Let's just take our little swipe at our beloved NDP, who under our beloved Jack Layton were doing so much for the state of Canadian sovereignty. Not. Now, I knew Jack 22 years before he died. We were on a first-name basis. Hi, Jack. Hi, Dee. Right? He was my city councilor. He was around forever. I knew him from when he was at City Hall. And not so much his wife, but I've met her. Now, here's the thing. Years and years ago, they were doing one of those environmental days where the politicians put on their casual clothes and they take a big garbage bag and a stick with a point on the end of it, and they go out with a bunch of people and they, pick up pieces of litter and, beautify the city. Okay, and of course, it's one big massive photo op. And not much else. Well, Jack was in my neighborhood with a few other NDP people, like Michael Prue, Marilyn Turley, a whole bunch of locals, okay, as well as Jack, who was then our MP. He had become our MP for Toronto Danforth. So I walked up to Jack. I said, hi, Jack. He said, hi, Dee. How you doing? Oh, great, yada, yada, all that stuff, right? I said, listen, I want to talk to you about something really serious. He says, what is it? I said, I'm really concerned about the trade group signings and how it destroys our sovereignty. And he looks me straight in the eye and he says, yeah, we've noticed that. We're all over that. He says, you need to get in touch with Peter Julian, who is our point man on the issue. I go, oh, good. Jack's got it in his head. Good, good. This bodes well. Now ask me exactly what Peter Julian and the NDP came out with in terms of our sovereignty over the next 4 or 5 years, besides nada. Not one thing. Not one thing. Along comes Bill C-36, which first reared its head, I think, in 2008. And it was Parliament got prorogued twice, and so C-36, which was the Canada Consumer Protection Act, okay, and it basically had some rules for the health minister. Now it took because there was such a stink raised by the health freedom community over what was perceived by them as draconian. They overlooked, except for me, of course, the lone voice bleating in the wilderness. They didn't notice the one clause in the back of the agreement that said, the minister may take direction from foreign authorities. They didn't define them. I'm going, hang on here. What do you mean, may? Well, so I go and look in the governmental definitions of words, which as most of us who haven't done any research realize, those words don't mean what you and I think they mean. You got to go look them up and see what Parliament means when they use them, because it's all legal jargon, and it's meant in a legal way. Well, apparently the word may means must or shall. I go, hang on here. Again, I'm choking on my own tongue. Hang on here. What that means is that our Minister of Health is going to set regulations for health and food safety, all of which come under her purview, Leona Aglukkaq. She is going to set those regulations in accordance with what other authorities, foreign authorities, want, and she's going to do it by virtue of it having been enacted by our own parliament. And I'm going, wait a minute. So who's the first guy I contact? Jack Layton, of course.
Oh, yeah.
What I get out of Jack Layton? Sweet nada.
Oh, yeah.
So I sent him an email and I said, you know, Jack, your suspenders used to mark you as a man of the people. Now they just hold up your pants. Again, I didn't get a response. But
yeah.
When C-36 passed, okay, C-36 passed and all of the parties, of course, came out with their talking points. What was the NDP talking point directly from Mr. Layton's mouth? It's nice to be on a level playing field with our trade partners. What?
Yeah.
So, Mr., I'm all over the sovereignty issue. Mr. Jack Layton, who's so beloved by so many people across the nation, and he's saying, what?
I mean, it's like all these organizations are really controlled by the same people, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and I firmly believe, you see, like I said, I've known Jack a long, long time. And Jack was as healthy as a horse. He was a bit of a fitness buff. I say a bit because he used to bum smokes from me. But he was, you know, he was the wiry little guy. He wasn't a big man. He was a little guy, but he was well built. He was well muscled, lean but well muscled, and he always looked really, really healthy.
Oh.
Okay. Well, all of a sudden he's in Parliament. He's not so healthy. Right now, as a health activist, which I've been for 20 years and more, okay, I know ding blasted well. Now, you can disagree with me if you want. Anybody can. I don't care. It's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't go anywhere near an oncologist if I had cancer, and that would be to save my own life.
Yeah.
I would not go anywhere near an oncologist.
Yeah,
I would go to just about any naturopathic practitioner, but I would never go near an oncologist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and that's because...
He was known to have gone to an oncologist.
Well, of course he did.
Yeah, of course.
And the next thing you know, gee, he's got stuff that's wrong with him, and they didn't even disclose it to the people. Okay, but the treatment that they gave him for his prostate cancer likely destroyed his bone marrow, and then he got bone cancer. And when you go to bone cancer, you get full body irradiation, and then your bone marrow is dead. And God help you if you don't have a bone marrow transplant that's going to work. You're dead in days.
Well,
I don't know what was done to Jack Layton, but I can see that progression, or that kind of progression, something analogous to that going on. But Jack got sick after he went to Parliament. That's speculative, but, you know, I'm saying it because it's in my head, not because I can prove it. So don't anybody get into a snit. But the thing to me is that in the metaphysical sense, the prostate gland means basically if you got problems with it, you're concerned and feeling emasculated in some way. And if Parliament doesn't emasculate the 308 individuals sitting there, I don't know what would.
Well, yeah,
because,
it certainly must.
Well, this is the thing. Our government is now controlled by corporations who are basically forcing their opinions on us through the trade groups, because it's all about trade profit and barriers to trade. Okay, so you got our government basically taking the word of Big Pharma, for example, in healthcare, to the point where the largest award in pharmaceutical history was just hit against the very people our government indemnified for the flu shot for the fake flu pandemic 2 years ago. I mean, please.
Sorry, say that again, Dee. So our government approved the Gardasil vaccination for
Gardasil. Not Gardasil,
oh, yeah.
The flu shot.
Okay,
the largely untested, completely untested, because none of the testing was ever properly validated. None of it.
Oh, yeah.
Our government indemnified GlaxoSmithKline, which produced the vaccine, from any kind of lawsuit whatsoever, and said, we will protect Canadians. Well, ask the God knows how many, I think it was over 900 adverse events that were reported on the blog site Canadians for Health Freedom. None of those people ever got any compensation. So Harper lied through his teeth, did damage to thousands of Canadians, thousands of them with that flu shot, and GSK never paid a dime. Well, now GSK got nailed in the States for $3
billion. $3
billion. $3 billion, and they paid up.
Wow.
They paid up, and this same company is the one that, and what they were nailed for was basically misleading information and off-label promotion of products. Okay, that's what they got nailed for. The same company is when our government says, go ahead, we trust you. And now I'm looking at the Enbridge pipeline that is supposed to go from the Athabasca tar sands. And make no mistake, people, it is not light sweet crude they're taking out of the ground in Alberta. That is the case in the southern oil wells where we've had oil for God knows how long. That's light sweet crude. What they're getting out of the tar sands is bitumen. It's tar. It is goop.
And they're taking that across the mountains?
Well, get a load of this. They want to run a pipeline from the Athabasca tar sands all the way to the west coast at Kitimat. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is kind of interesting because where they want to roll this pipeline, there's nothing there except Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? It is some of the most remote, inaccessible, and unstable landscape in the entire country, and this is a company that has had, on average, over the last decade, 80-plus major spills per year. Now, this company that has had in the last decade over 800 spills that have done environmental damage to everything but Toronto, okay, in this country, these guys are the guys who want to build this pipeline. Now, it gets worse once you get to Kitimat, because from there it goes to supertankers.
Wow.
Okay? Now, these supertankers that they're building, they're like 3 football fields end to end.
Wow.
And engineers, like marine engineers, say that these supertankers, because they're so long, okay, what happens is they often get caught between waves, like troughs. Okay, if they're broadside to the waves, they get battered around really badly because they're in the trough. If they're vertical, perpendicular to the waves, sometimes their front end and back end can be on a peak with the trough in the middle. So you can imagine that with these waves heaving, you're looking at a large-scale straw being battered around by rapids. Now, the marine engineers, that these boats are good for 2 trips in waters such as you find off Kitimat, where the waves can go from 3 feet to 100 feet in a matter of an hour.
Wow.
It is some of the most difficult navigation in Canada. It's some of the most difficult coastline in Canada because it's full of fjords.
Wow.
It's a rough coastline. You're going to get all kinds of weird stuff going on off that coast, and here they want to put supertankers. So I'm looking at, wait a minute, on land they're screwed up, on the sea they're screwed up, where are they not screwed up?
Well,
if they leave the oil in the sands where it is, then we're not screwed up.
Yeah, really. I don't. Where are these tankers headed to? To the States, or to over to China, or to somewhere else?
Wherever, yeah. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. The biggest problem they face is right off Kitimat. Now, you know that Exxon Valdez spill they had years and years and years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still cleaning it up.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And people are thinking, wait a minute, that was oil. That wasn't bitumen. That wasn't globs of tar. Like, I mean, if anybody's ever seen the La Brea tar pits in Los Angeles, these are pits of tar. They're bubbling up out of the surface of the ground, and they're right in downtown Los Angeles. You can go and see them, Google them, take a peek.
Wow.
Okay, they've been featured in movies. All right, but the La Brea tar pits, this black goop that is coming out of the ground, that's what they want to push through a pipeline. Now, as far as I'm concerned, when you have something that thick and that heavy, okay, you're asking for trouble running it through any kind of conventional pipeline, because it's a whole lot heavier a product than light sweet crude. Well, how many refineries do we have? Why can't we refine it first and then at least ship it out clean? Well, it's because we don't have any refineries anymore.
Oh, we don't?
No, they're gone. We don't have any steel factories either. We have refineries. There's hardly any of them in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've been shutting them down. So, again, labor going offshore, labor disappearing, right? So everything that you look around and you look at the trade agreements, well, you know, part of a trade agreement can be, well, Canada agrees to supply so many barrels of oil.
Yeah.
Okay, or Canada agrees to supply under this agreement a minimum amount of this or that. And then we come to water. And that's where I start getting real worried. Now, we've all seen what happened with the weather this summer. They're blaming it on not global warming anymore, which would have fit. Too bad they had to throw that one out when it was proven wrong. Now they're calling it climate change, which means, oh, well, it could change to anything, don't you know, and we're still right.
Yeah.
That's why they use the word, because, you know, you say warming, if the temperature goes down, well, you're wrong. If you say cooling and it goes up, well, you're wrong. But if you say climate's changing, you're right no matter what the hell it does.
Exactly.
So that's what they've done. I mean, come on, these guys didn't fall off a cabbage truck this morning. They know damn well what they're doing.
Do you think that they've brought on this heat wave across the states?
Of course they have.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they have. And, and you know what? They've got such weather modification technology. I'm seeing weather control words popping up, all kinds of documents, all kinds of legislation, all kinds of talking points. People are still ignoring the fact they've had very active weather changing technology since the middle of the last century. They can now lead hurricanes around by the nose like it's a ring in the nose of a bull. They do it with lasers. They are now attacking people with lasers. I mean, I talked at length yesterday with a farmer in New Brunswick. You can search him out on YouTube and see what he has to say. His name is Werner Bock. Bock
with
the beer, B-O-C-K. Werner has pictures on his, he's done a video, and you should see what they did to his cows. Holy crap. And they've got these weapons to use on us now, and all of our rules, all of our laws, and all of our rights are being controlled offshore, and people are still snoring. You know, and meanwhile, you're looking at this drought, and people are going, tisk, tisk, tisk. Well, this drought that we've had, you're not even hearing about the effects, okay? I happen to know a lady who has a farm, and it's basically a retreat. She does trail rides. She boards horses. She has like a petting zoo. It's like a summer vacation, and it's up near Shelburne in Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful rolling hills, beautiful big pastures, all of them burnt out. She's having, for the first time in as long as she can remember, she's having to import hay to feed her horses in the summertime, which means she's having to sell a lot of horses. Well, that means the value of horses is going down. That means a lot of horses are going to be abandoned. That means that the calves and cows are being sold at auction. Their price is going to drop. That means the supply of meat on the market is going to decrease. That means the price, consumer price, is going to skyrocket. And all of that is speculation, remember, because these cows are being sold cheaper, not more expensively. So these guys who are selling the ultimate product, which is meat, they're making out like bandits. Okay? Now comes the wheat, the grain, the corn, the soy, the whatever. And I don't care. You're talking genetically modified. Even if it's genetically modified, it doesn't survive no water. Okay? So you've got no hay, no feed for the livestock. Okay?
Yeah.
If you've got no feed for the livestock, you've equally got much less grain and low yield. Seen Brussels sprouts lately?
No,
they're usually the size of the heel of your hand. Now, they're the size of the tip of your middle finger. And they're bitter. The cherries this year, they were garbage. A lot of the fruit that has come out, fruit and veggies, they're smaller. They don't taste as good. Why? Because there's no water. Now, we just had a summer of drought, and when we're looking to harvest those veggies in the fall and they're in that shape, what do you think we're going to get? And what do you think we're going to pay for it? And what do you think 10 pounds of flour is going to cost you next year? And that means every food product that is made with any flour whatsoever is going to cost marginally more.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're talking about food prices, which have escalated in the last couple of years by at least 30%.
Yeah.
Probably going up another 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can most people handle that in their food budget? No, it can't. So what is that going to mean? They're going to be going for the cheapest products they can buy, which, interestingly enough, are supplied by the same multinational corporations, not the local farmers, not the local markets, not the Canadian produce, but the produce that is brought in from wherever they grow it by the multinational corporations. And so they've taken over our food supply. Okay?
Yeah.
Our food supply is shot. With this drought, we'll be eating canned produce from everywhere.
Well, and it's all through the States, too, isn't it?
Well, a lot of it is, and a lot of it's through China. And people are now looking at Chinese labels and going, I ain't eating your crap.
Oh, really?
And anybody who's eating any seafood out of the Pacific Ocean right now needs their head examined.
Yeah.
So where are we at? You see, this is why the head of the snake, Christopher. This is why the head of the snake has to be nailed, because it's how are these guys getting away with all of this? How are they getting away with it? Well, they're getting away with it because we're obligated to it by international law, which supersedes every law we've got. And that's the one thing that our governments, and I say plural because it's every ready government that's kowtowing to this stuff, and that's 95% of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're all kowtowing to this. They know damn well they've signed away our rights. They can't admit it. Now, I don't know if you recall, but May 9th of this year, I sent an email off to our Justice Minister, Rob Nicholson. No relation, thank heavens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I asked him certain questions in this email. The questions that I asked were, because he sent me an email, he responded to an email about a year or so before that, and in that response he said, you're right, you must remember your rights are subject to interpretation. I go, wait a minute. Who are you kidding? By whom? You? Not by you, pal, because you're not on the Supreme Court last I looked. And the only ones who are allowed to interpret legislation in this country is the Supreme Court. They're the supreme arbiter. When you have a quarrel with any legislation, it goes to the Supreme Court, which translates and interprets the law. Since when does the Minister of Justice get to do that? He doesn't. So interpretation, I said, by whom? By whom are these rights being reinterpreted? Because if you're saying subject to interpretation, we've already had them interpreted by the Supreme Court. So you're talking about reinterpretation. Well, by whom are they being reinterpreted? When is it scheduled to be heard in the Supreme Court so we can take a look? Which rights are being affected? And gosh, does this have anything to do with trade obligations? Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, bear in mind, I said, I've got an extensive email list and a bunch of followers, and they all want to know answers to these questions, too. So, you know, please answer, you know, in a timely manner, because I'm just going to have to tell these people that you didn't want to answer. Right? Or worse, refuse to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, a month goes by, comes to June 9th. No response from the minister, no nothing. I'm going, well, that's fascinating. Maybe he just can't answer these questions without putting himself in jail. Okay? All right? No answer. So I copy the first email, append it onto a new email, and remind him these questions need answering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, day before yesterday, I finally get a response. We're talking May to August here.
Oh.
Okay, I get a response from a flunky in his office called Bisson, L. Bisson. I don't know if it's a female or a male, but Mr. or Ms. Bisson must think I fell off that proverbial cabbage truck because of the answer that was given to me.
Oh, yeah.
They said, the minister can't give a legal opinion, suggest they call that I call a lawyer. And then they try to foist it off onto the health minister when I use C-36 as an example, and it wasn't the topic of the email at all. So I sent that out to my list, and I said, hey, look at this idiotic answer they expect me to accept. And I wrote back to Mr. or Ms. Bisson and said, I don't accept this. The minister has until August 9th to give me an answer to these questions we have a right as Canadians to know. What is the state of our sovereignty, sir? That's not a legal opinion. It's a statement of fact based on these international agreements. And Nicholson won't answer. And that means he's either obfuscating the truth because he knows that if Canadians knew, a whole lot of people would go to jail for treason because they gave away our rights, which they no government has a mandate to do that. Do you recall ever seeing anything that said the government could give away your rights anywhere in any legislation, in any of the research you've ever done, Christopher?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay, closest thing that comes to that is the notwithstanding clause in the Constitution. In the Bill of Rights. There's a notwithstanding clause. That notwithstanding clause, it came out in 1967. Now, in 1967, what was I? I was 18 years old. And I saw that notwithstanding clause, and I went, wait a minute. All this stuff they give you, they say right here, they can take it away, and all they got to do is declare an emergency.
Oh, yeah, under that clause. Okay.
Under that clause, it's called the notwithstanding, and it's for the good of the nation, okay? So now we see coming into play the words emergency. Federal Emergency Management Association comes to mind immediately. Okay, and the emergency of a flu pandemic, which had everybody bare in their arms, and now comes a kicker that just has me crap in my drawers, because about a year ago, I was advancing the theory, I don't know if I told you or not, but I did advance the theory to a number of people that I thought that they were having a lot of fun creating a situation for martial law in the States, but that I thought when it came to Canadians, they'd go after us medically.
Oh, yeah.
And this was during the 20... Actually, I came up with this during the 2010 fake pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And I was extrapolating from the circumstances of that, and I said, well, how easy would it be to say that, well, hey, we've got this nasty illness out there, and the only way any of us are going to survive is if we have this vaccine. So it's a state of emergency. Every citizen must have this vaccine.
Wow.
Now, you consider they've built all these FEMA camps, okay?
Yeah.
And you consider that they do have, in a medical emergency, the ability under law to quarantine us, okay? Mm-hmm. So now, what if you refuse that vaccine knowing full well that it was sourced to a tobacco-grown virus created by DARPA?
Wow.
Okay? Now, that came out this week. John Rappaport was talking about how DARPA's gotten to the U.S. military, is now in the vaccine business.
Wow.
What? You see what I'm saying? So easy is it to say, okay, everybody get vaccinated. Those who refuse, you're going in the camp. Now, if you go in the camp, which is considered, because it's propagandized, to be infected, dangerous, right? These healthy people, they're the only healthy people left on the planet, but they're all in quarantine. Okay? Now, how easy would it be to have somebody suddenly die in one of those camps and, no, you can't have the body for an autopsy because it's infected? National security, don't you know? So, in other words, you go into one of those camps, if you happen to be an activist, they can kill you real easy. They could use a bullet to the brain. They don't care because nobody's going to ever know.
Yeah, they don't now. We don't really know what goes on like that.
No, we don't. We only know what we're told. And as Sun Tzu said in Art of War, God knows how long ago Art of War was written. But, I mean, thousands of years. But the first thing he said, you want to control people, control their information they've got.
Oh, yeah.
So what do? They control the information we've got.
Oh, yeah.
And what do we do because that information is controlled? Well, we go along with it. Why? Because the only information we've got, it's got nothing to do with whether the information is valid, true, or even has a semblance of being true.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Hitler say? Hey, bigger the lie, the easier it is to make people believe it. And what did Goebbels say? Joseph Goebbels, who was Hitler's PR man, he said, how fortunate for the governors that the governed do not think. No kidding!
How do you see the government as allowing the chemtrail spraying of people of Ontario? How do you think that happens? Like, what level of
mandates,
in the
international mandates being forced, being coerced?
By the NATO or the UN? Or both?
You know, it could be both. It could be more than that. I mean, they have drugs now like scopolamine that, you know, they can administer. They're tasteless and odorless. They can administer these things to politicians at parties. They can catch them in honeypot situations with perverted sex and all that kind of stuff going on. And then they can blackmail them that way. That's really direct. The other way is they can say to a country now, under all these trade groups, they can say, well, either you do this or we do that to you. So our government is being blackmailed, literally blackmailed and coerced by these trade agreements, and we never hear a word about it. And why do we not hear a word about it? Well, because if they did, they'd have to be admitting they gave our sovereignty away on that. And they'd have to be admitting that Parliament is useless to Canadians now because we're governed from offshore. They'd have to be saying the only issue your MP is there for is constituency issues, and even those are subject to approvals by trade groups, because now, with CETA coming in, they want control of our water utilities and our power utilities, and they're coming in with foreign bids on everything.
Wow.
And, of course, with the drought, water is becoming a prime concern. Now, I've promoted this book before to people, okay? I want people who are listening to write down this email address and get in touch with this woman. Her name is Jen Stanley. Keto is her email address. Keto, KITTOH, at storm.ca. Okay? KITTOH, at storm.ca. And buy, trade, or negotiate something, get a hold of her book, which said, which is titled "A Calamity Threatens Your Happiness," and take a look at what is said about water in this country and how it is going to be diverted through projects like the Grand River Project and the James Bay Project. They are diverting all Canadian water into that area of the United States where they just had a man-made drought. And they're going to do it by saying, if Canada doesn't share, Canada's the bad guy. Trade sanctions, hello. You see, this is how they do it. So all of our water, all of our resources, anything we've got is being taken over by these trade rules, which are basically manipulated by the multinational corporations who ultimately profit from all of them.
Wow. Is that woman, Keita, is she available to have on our show?
Well, I haven't been able to get in touch with her for a while. She's had some problems with her computer.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
She suspects that she's being interfered with.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, would like to put her and Shelley Clark on together because, you know, Shelley Clark talks a great deal in her book, The Sale of a Country. She talks extensively about the fact that our water rights were given away in that original trade agreement that she typed up in 1987-88 between the states and Canada. And then, of course, after that came NAFTA, and we've got all kinds of other little side agreements going on since then, none of which any of us have ever seen. We've never seen them.
Yeah.
Okay, so they can spring anything they ready well want on us, and we can't say squat.
Yeah, especially because of the corporate media, which are so delinquent in their reporting of what's happening.
Oh, delinquent. I don't call it delinquent anymore.
Yeah.
I call it deliberate because we know them as prostitutes. We call them prostitutes all the time. But if you go back to the New York Press Club meeting some years ago where David Rockefeller was speaking to them and he thanked them all for their complicity, saying, we couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah.
Hello. And then you look at what's on TV. The mindless drivel that is on TV these days, these reality shows where people go and do stupid stuff trying to win money, right? Or trying to outwit each other in, you know, all living together in a house, or trying to find the perfect partner in candidates selected literally by TV audiences. Excuse me, all to bloody hell, but what is going on out there is complete desensitization of our population to anything real, human, compassionate, loving, giving, and sustaining.
Wow, that's terrible.
Well, it is.
It is. It is terrible. I can't watch TV myself anymore. I won't even turn it on.
Well, you know, I discovered this little site. Okay, it's online. You can get it either under the live channels on tgun.tv /USA, or you can get it direct on their own site, which is tubtub.com. Now, tubtub.com, spelled just like it sounds, like bathtub, tubtub.com, is a site where there are over 100 channels, each one featuring movies, series, TV shows, you name it, it's on there. They're all old, silver screen, a lot of black and white stuff going back to the Three Stooges and Spanky and Our Gang and all the things that we grew up with where the shows actually had values. Okay? Those things we can still access, people. That's what I watch these days because, you know, it gives me great hope to see people like, you know, Jimmy Stewart taking on the U.S. Congress. Right?
Wow.
It gives me great hope to see people in these old movies acting with morals and integrity and values that are supportable by the rest of us. The only things I won't watch are the military ones because way back then, all wars were also manipulated and people were conned into fighting fake enemies who were created by propaganda and nothing more.
Yeah, that's what I understand now, too, as about the Second World War and the First World War.
So I'll watch I Love Lucy, thank you, instead of that.
Yeah.
You know, because we all like a little bit of entertainment, and if you can't afford to go out and you can't, you know, because things are getting increasingly expensive and unaffordable and undoable, which is another thing that's driving people crazy, right? Because you're stuck, you're getting cabin fever even in the summertime, just because you're stuck in the city, and city events are going crazy because all of a sudden people can't leave town because they had to sell the cottage. Because, you see, all that noose is tightening. It's tightening. When I find a little site like TubTub.com and TGun.tv, I go, Yahoo! I can still get the stuff that I grew up on. I can still get the stuff that is valuable. I can still show some kids some actual real cartoons that actually are funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you have to dig for it. There is nothing out there. Kids are being turned into automatons. They are being exposed to not one but five genders by their own school system. One of those genders is questioning. Since when did God create a gender called questioning? Have you ever seen anything on the planet other than what you see out there?
Is that a gender? Is that one of the genders?
Yes.
I always questioning.
Well, yeah, it's LGBTQ, okay? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and questioning.
Okay?
So now it's okay to be the gender of questioning. Like, I'm a question mark? Is that what they want on their kid's T-shirt? But no, they can teach that in school.
Where is this coming in, Dee?
Oh, Manitoba, Alberta, BC, Ontario, you name it, it's everywhere.
Wow.
It's everywhere. Our education system now is, and if anybody wants to know what the story of how education is being worked to the elite's advantage, I suggest you go to newswithviews.com and look for Charlotte Iserbite as the author. Her last name is spelled I-S-E-R-B-Y-T. And Charlotte Iserbite has come out with some articles on how they are crafting our educational system to serve in the way that they intend our diminishing population under Agenda 21 to serve. This is all to serve the needs of these multinational corporations, not to serve us. And what she's saying in the most latest one, she's saying that what will happen is they're going to start, you know, just like they're starting to ration medical treatment, they're going to start rationing education. In other words, say your child wants to become a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's say Ford and GM and all these people, they have room for so many mechanics this year. Say it's 5,000 nationwide.
Yeah.
They have need for 5,000. Well, if your kid is mechanic number 5,001, he won't get the training.
Wow.
And that's how they're setting it up. In Canada now, if you happen to be old and require dramatic surgery, you're not going to get it because
you're old.
Okay, you're not going to get treatment because you're old or because you're infirm or because you're a drain on the system, yada, yada. And Obamacare is full of that. You know, people like Sarah Palin, who I find about as credible as a $3 bill, but she came out and she called them death panels and got everybody all riled up. Well, you know what? Miss $3 bill there was right because it's just a label that's not correct.
Yeah.
The function of them is absolutely true. If you happen to be an old person in the United States under Obamacare, you're going to be basically, put to some kind of committee that plans for your death or helps you plan for your death because they're not going to give you the treatment to prevent it.
Yeah.
You know, and in the meantime, you're being forced to pay for that kind of insurance and it's a tax. What? What? No, you know, as a Canadian, I have limited knowledge of the U.S. Constitution, but it seems to me there's a part in that Constitution that says that any direct tax on the people has to go through Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is a direct tax on the people with penalties if you refuse. But it didn't go through Congress like that.
So that's part of the Obamacare, is it?
Oh, yeah, but you see, it's already happening. It happens in Canada, too, but mm-hmm. It doesn't happen so overtly because we don't have a campaign on to radically change how our health care system is delivered. Ours is essentially being used as a model. You know, so consequently, no, we don't see a lot of changes, but what we do see is cutbacks. And the funding for health care from the feds to the provinces, which, of course, the provinces have under our Constitution, they have control over health care. So how come is it that the feds have so much control over our health care? Well, that's because the provinces have to kowtow to the money. Why do they have to kowtow to the money? Well, that's because pharma's in charge of all the choices. When you look at Health Canada, they got a revolving door going two ways. Between Pfizer, Merck, and Health Canada, their employees rotate like they're part of a merry-go-round.
Yeah, they're terrible, aren't they?
You know, I mean, Health Canada's full of Merck and Pfizer and GSK people, and these companies are full of Health Canada people. And you can see the conflicts of interest going on, but nobody's saying anything, nobody's doing anything, and the people go, aww.
It's so hard for anybody to know what to do and how to do it.
Well, saying no to everything and starting to actually get active in denying these people what they want, okay? What do they want? They want money, okay? Well, we don't have an awful lot of that to spend, but how about we start spending at the small stores, the local stores, the family stores that have been around for 40 years and passed from generation to generation? How about these people who didn't go to chain stores? Mm-hmm. The, you know, the people on the corner, the ones who are being pushed out by the multinationals. How about we patronize them instead? How about we say, screw you to the multinationals? How about we grow our own everything while we have the right to, because they're trying to take that away from us, too. Okay?
Yeah.
While we have the right to grow things ourselves, go to the farmers' markets, go out in the country, buy at the fruit stands, do whatever it takes to take money out of the hands of these people, and when they come looking for their taxes saying, sorry, I ain't paying. You're doing things that are morally reprehensible, and I cannot sustain that. Canada is committing war crimes, and by paying my taxes, I'm complicit in war crimes. Canada's already been cited.
Cited?
Oh, yeah.
By?
Oh, the UN. The UN is looking at our violations, and they're saying, wait a minute, but, you know, the UN is a paper tiger when it comes to that stuff. In fact, it's tissue paper. However, we're being cited by human rights groups around the world as having committed war crimes overseas in the Middle East. And we did.
Overseas in the Middle East?
In the Middle East, yeah. In the Middle East.
Well, I mean, we did commit war crimes by going in there because of the Americans. But
exactly.
We
broke our international agreements. We went in there on spurious evidence in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Okay, they say we weren't in Iraq at the beginning, but I have the word of a Canadian soldier who said it was our special forces that busted Saddam Hussein's bunker. So who am I going to listen to, these idiots in the mainstream media who lie all the time, or a guy who was there on the ground?
Okay, so who was threatening to sue the Canadian government?
Over this, I don't know where you got that. Sorry.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm mixed up then, somehow.
Yeah. But, I mean, the bottom line is we have been committing war crimes. We participated in the ultimate war crimes in Libya.
Yeah,
okay?
We did.
In Libya, we joined a no-fly zone and started using bombs to enforce a no-fly zone. Pardon me? Since when do you enforce a no-fly zone by bombs hitting the ground? Seems to me things that are on the ground getting blown up ain't flying anyway.
But you're
and
taking.
Lydia, I mean, and then on top of that, what really got me, and this is the thing that tipped me off that absolutely this whole thing was a scam, was the fact that the International Monetary Fund, which is owned by N.M. Rothschild & Sons plus 30 to 40 of the world's richest people, and we're talking trillionaires, not billionaires.
Oh, yeah. Who own which again?
The International Monetary Fund.
Okay.
Rothschild
oh, yeah.
Operation.
Okay.
So bottom line, you got the IMF coming in there, and they founded the IMF-approved Central Bank of Benghazi 2 weeks into a no-fly zone with no resolution on the ground, no government takeover having been effected, the legal government of Libya at the time being Muammar Gaddafi, okay? Mm-hmm. But they set up a central bank, IMF-approved, within 2 weeks of the beginning of the no-fly zone, and they flew the Al-Qaeda flag over that puppy the minute they opened their doors. Now, excuse me all to flying blue blazes, but where was Canada in all of that? Oh, sure, go ahead. Sure, go
yeah,
ahead.
Well,
Canada,
but I
the
mean,
peacekeeper, made me sick. Made me sick.
It's like you look at the UN and you realize that no treaty comes out of the UN. Like, we could be suing the countries of the United States and Canada and England for all of these wars.
Of course we could, and we should. But
yeah,
you
we
see,
should.
The UN becomes either a toothy tiger or a toothless tiger, depending on what the issue is. They become toothy tigers when it comes to things like propaganda. For example, when the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret What's-Her-Face, decided that H1N1 was a pandemic, despite the fact they didn't have enough cases to justify anything. They couldn't even call it an epidemic, never mind a pandemic, but she did. And then GSK and other vaccine companies made billions because of that. Well, I wonder how much she made because somebody got paid off for that little boondoggle. Somebody had to be paid off. If it wasn't Dr. Margaret What's-Her-Face, I'd like to know who the hell it was because that was something else that they pulled off and all those people lining up for shots. Like, here, go ahead and poison me for the greater good. I don't think so.
It'll be interesting to see what proportion of people actually goes for their new flu endemics.
Well, yeah, like, especially when a lot of people already know that the ding-blasted vaccine has been developed by DARPA.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, pardon me, but when everything that is nasty on this planet comes out of DARPA. You know, it's one of those... It's one of those alphabet soup gangs that you just don't want to mess with them.
Yeah.
They're really nasty people, these people at DARPA. And I don't know how they sleep night. I mean, they must be either hypnotized or propagandized into the belief that what they're doing is important. But I don't see how you can basically, you know, engender a state of war preparedness in every direction possible and claim that you're after peace. I mean, the production of equipment for war, to my mind, regardless of what kind of material it is, I don't care whether it's a drug or an EMF weapon or a directed weapon or whatever. I don't care what it is. But what that the production of that weapon assumes is there's going to be a reason to need it. So why are you assuming endless war and yet saying that you want peace? That's sort of like screwing for virginity, isn't it?
Well, it's a very good euphemism for them. I mean, it's a...
Yeah, well, I wish I'd come up with it because it's a good one.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
dear.
I mean, you see where I'm going. Now, we go back to the top of the show, and what was I saying?
Well, you'd come on, and you had said about, like, getting at the snake, the head of the
getting
snake.
Getting the head of the snake. Okay.
Yeah, and that
now,
was, like, the trade agreements.
Uh-huh. Well, now you see, after we spent the last hour talking about exactly where the tentacles of these trade agreements go, now you can see why I'm saying our only way out is to say, to hell with these trade agreements. We are Canada. We are the United States of America. We are Britain. We are Poland. We are Czechoslovakia. And we deal this way. If you like it, trade with us. If you don't, don't. We'll be fine without you. And that's how it used to be, and that's how it worked, and that's how we were protected, because we had our sovereignty, and we could go to our government, we could say we don't like this, and the buggers would have to comply, otherwise they wouldn't get elected again. That's how it used to be, and that was, that's, even that wasn't a proper democracy, but that was a whole hell of a lot better than what we got right now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because right now, we can, you know, we wonder how come, and I keep hearing it from people all the time, at all levels of knowledge, all levels of wakefulness, every single one of them say, from their own perspective, the government doesn't listen.
Yeah.
And I say, well, why do you think that is? Oh, they don't care. Oh, no, oh, no, trust me. They're human beings. They actually do care. But the problem is this. They're gagged by these trade agreements. They're gagged by their caucuses. They're gagged by their leaders. All of these people are being gagged by these multinational corporations, the Walmarts of the world, the big pharmas of the world, the big Monsantos of the world, most evil company on the planet.
Aren't they terrible?
They are unreal.
So criminally insane.
I mean, if I met a person from Monsanto on the street, I would be hard pressed not to hit them.
Yeah, I can imagine that too.
And quite frankly, I can't imagine that there are all these. And you know, Monsanto is so huge; it employs I don't know how many people, hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Monsanto employs. If not millions. I don't know. I mean, they're humongous. And their subsidiaries, the companies that they own, if you extrapolate how many actual employees Monsanto has, I mean, they must employ a goodly percentage of the world population, ultimately, through what they control. And then when you think about that, all these people, in order to do what they do, have to be either in a state of ignorance or in a state of having been, you know, convinced that they're doing good stuff. You know, and then you look at Bill Gates, philanthropist?
Yeah. Isn't he weird, eh?
Pardon me, philanthropist?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing he's a big enough a-hole to stuff all his money up there.
Yeah, really.
Because, I tell you, when you look at a guy who comes out in public and says if they use vaccines smartly, they can reduce world population. And then when he's busted on that, he says, oh, well, you know, the smarter people, they don't have as many children.
He said that too,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. That's a reason. That's a reason why vaccines are going to depopulate the planet. Pardon me? Let's look at our adverse events. Right now, in the United States, all by itself, which we know is a rather violent place to live in most, you know, there's a lot of guns down there and a lot of kooks coming out of the woodwork. A lot of people on meds they shouldn't be on because they're dangerous. Okay. Did you know that in the United States you are 6,200 times more likely to die from a properly prescribed pharmaceutical drug than you are from a gunshot wound in the United States as of today?
Oh, yeah, really. Absolute sense.
200 times.
Exactly.
More likely.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what does that say about how dangerous is pharma? Well, let's put it into these terms. Properly prescribed pharmaceutical products in the United States alone, and you can extrapolate, divide by 10, that's about how our population is. The numbers are the same because the system is the same, and the drugs are the same. Okay? So just to, if you want to know what our stats are, divide by 10. It's always been the case. It comes close enough for speculative purposes. It certainly does. Okay? Now, every year in the United States, properly prescribed and administered pharmaceutical products kill 108,000 Americans.
Oh, yeah.
That's 1,080,000 every 10 years. Makes them the third leading cause of death in America behind heart disease and cancer. Now, if you factor in the improperly prescribed, improperly taken, and unnecessary surgical procedures and toxic procedures like radiation, chemotherapy, and all of those things, you add those in, and it is the number one cause of death ahead of heart disease and cancer. Number one. What is the source of those statistics? Gag me with a spoon if it isn't the New England Journal of Medicine. Suck that up, all you naysayers. Suck that up. So by their own numbers, by their own admission, they're killing millions of Americans. They're killing hundreds of thousands of Canadians divided by 10.
Yeah.
Okay? Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weirded out. It's so... It's just so...
Well, I mean, you know, then they turn around and they tell everybody vitamins are dangerous, and I say, where are the ding-blasted bodies then?
Yeah,
show me the bodies. I can show you your bodies. Can you show me mine?
Yeah, really.
I wish you luck. Call me when you're done. Because that's essentially what's going on. Call me when you're done, because they will never find the bodies killed by vitamins. There aren't any. They're called vitamins because it translates to vital minerals. And as double Nobel laureate Dr. Linus Pauling pointed out many years ago, you can trace every condition, every disease, every symptom to a mineral deficiency. And it's true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. If your body has perfect balance in terms of its essential nutrients, you can't get sick. Your body's going to toss off anything. It's going to get it designed that way.
Yeah, which is harder and harder for people to do, but for sure.
Well, it's, you see, here's the other thing, and this is what's worst about it. This is my worst thing about that whole thing is it's hard for them not just to do it, which is increasingly difficult given the pollutants and toxicants that we inhale and drink and eat and live through on a daily basis. You know, you're talking food, water, air, and EMF pollution. Okay? We live through that on a daily basis. All of these things are minimizing the ability of our immune system to kick back. Okay? But the bottom line is that even despite that, our immune system still keeps the majority of us healthy the majority of the time. How about them apples?
How strong really are
we? And how weak are we when we start listening to people in white coats who have certificates on the wall that say, I know, and you don't?
Yeah.
They forget to say to themselves, oh, well, this guy has a studies in this. He's done 7 years of that training and blah, blah, blah. But really, there's a flip side to every certificate. It says, this guy knows and you don't. And what you're supposed to do with that information is to assume that that piece of paper hanging on the wall means the guy's smart. It has nothing to do with smart. It means he passed a university course that in some cases that we know of could have been passed by chimpanzees on multiple choice. We have doctors who go through medical school for 7 years. They have 7 hours of nutritional training, and yet the body depends entirely on nutrition for its health.
Isn't
Why do they
terrible?
Spend out of 7 years, 7 hours on nutrition?
Wow.
And then they claim to know that vitamins are dangerous? Yeah, right. You and what army taught you that information?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And the rest of us, we sit there, we don't even add up the things that are right in front of our funny little noses. We don't add up the simple fact of the matter that just because a piece of paper is on the wall doesn't make anyone smart, reliable, trustworthy, or honest. Doesn't mean a ding-blasted thing. So where is your own personal integrity? This is where we have to go now. Your own personal integrity has to start using your power of discernment on things so that you don't just blindly accept information from authorities on the assumption that they're there to help you. I mean, come on. You remember the old joke? there were three. Okay, there were three, the most famous promises ever made. Mm-hmm. I won't say the third one because I think we all know what it is. But the first one is the check's in the mail. The second one is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. What'd you dream the next night?
What was the third night?
Oh, no, it's obscene. I can't use it.
Oh.
It had to do with promises about not doing something in oral, in the oral orifice.
Okay.
So just so you get the gist.
Okay.
But I promise I won't. Blah 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 blah.
Okay. So we had these three promises. I forget what they were now.
Yeah. Well, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the check's in the mail.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. Famous last words. Ha ha ha. Well, yeah. You see, the people need to start taking for serious. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. No, they aren't here to help you. They're here to help the agenda, not you. And if you don't fit in the agenda, you won't be helped. If you serve the agenda, you will be helped. So now if you want to be a complete selfish idiot and get sucked in by the idea that, hey, the government will help me. You want to get sucked in by that? You go right for it. But 10 years down the road, when you realize you've been chained, gagged, and handcuffed, and weighted down with an anchor and dropped in the ocean, don't come crying to me.
Yeah.
Don't come crying to me. Because right now, mankind deserves every last thing it gets. As far as I'm concerned, they've asked for it, they got it. Toyota, how do you like it so far? I'm sorry, but I get real mad at people because they're so ignorant. They're willful. And it's not, you know, I don't get mad at people because they're ignorant because they, you know, somebody just didn't tell them, or they haven't been exposed, or they've been innocently absent from the places where they could have gleaned that information. It is the willfully ignorant who make me mad.
Yeah.
They're willfully blind. And
yeah,
they're willfully
are.
Blind for only one reason, and that is because they're so self-interested in having a sandwich in their lunchbox tomorrow that they don't give two hairy hoots about the rest of us. And they don't realize that nobody's an island. And guess what, pal? You may have your sandwich today, but when the rest of us don't have a sandwich tomorrow, you won't be getting one either.
Yeah.
So, holy smokes. But you see, it's that willful ignorance that gets me.
Yeah.
And I'm running into more and more and more of that. It's enough to make you want to shoot yourself.
It is. It is.
You know, she said facetiously.
Okay, so, well, why don't we try to come back a bit then to the opening of the show, and we're talking about getting at the head of the trade agreements.
Okay.
And
yeah,
then
let's
we kind of got into...
That.
All these other kind of aspects of the global elites and, you know, how they've kind of pushed these schemes through the arbitration hearings. And
they've pushed everything to the point where we have no control anymore at all. And they've put authorities in place that we're supposed to kowtow to, and we don't even know why. And our government has given away our sovereign right to rule ourselves. And they didn't even bother to tell us that was happening while hyping the benefits of, oh, look, we've shaken hands with this country and that country. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And then the people who are supposed to be saving the country, like our beloved Jack Layton, wherever you are, I hope you're hearing me, Jackie boy, because Jackie boy there promised me, swore to me, oh, yeah, we're all over it. We're going to be bringing it forward. And then he turns around and says, we're so happy to be on a level playing field with our trade partners.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to punch him in the mouth myself.
Yeah.
You know, he's lucky he's out of my grasp right now, or I'd be shaking him up and upside down by his suspenders.
Do you see anything of hope in Canadian system, like anyone at any level, in the provincial or federal level?
You know what? I really don't, except that I did hear a rumor. Now, this is an unsubstantiated rumor, but I'd sure like to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm.
and that is that there's a number of members of the Conservative Party who are old guard and who were actual conservatives. They weren't Alliance Reform Party people like Harper, that are getting very, very upset with the way things are going. I have also heard that MPs are literally intimidated in what they are being allowed to say and do on the Hill, that they're being gagged, muzzled, and otherwise wrongly directed, and they're being given a lot of threats. Now, there's a few people there on the Hill, from what I'm hearing. I don't know who they are. I am not privy to that information. But as far as I'm concerned, the more these people come forward, the more we'll have some new heroes.
Yeah.
To, you know, and whether they're worthy of being heroes or not, in this circumstance, they are. Because somebody has to stand up against this dictatorship that we have on Parliament Hill. And it's going to have to be a rebellion from within, because Harper just dismisses everything else. I mean, he has become the Emperor Harperius. And I'm still referring to that Joan Sutherland's painting of him naked on a chaise longue, right, being served Tim Hortons coffee by a bunch of flunkies, and she titles it Emperor Haute Couture, or Emperor with No Clothes. And it's like, well, you know what, that's true, because we know what he's doing. Right? We're pointing at them and going, look what they're doing! Right? And people are going, yeah, I am.
But he's just one in the phase of others who have led up to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. He may be the worst that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he's not the only one. And there's nobody who's a hero, even if you go all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can go all the way back even farther than that. We've had nut bars and people dealing with offshore entities and undercover stuff going on ever since fruit fermented on this planet. Does anybody really think it's new? It's just more technologically expert is all it is. You know, they've developed better ways of doing stuff than going pss, 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 while in the lavatory at the Roman Senate, or the vomitorium, or whatever. You know, it's been going on since fruit fermented. It's not going to stop unless we people eliminate the greed and the envy and the avarice from our own characters. We are going to elect people who reflect what we are. So if we want to change, we have to change who we are, because we have to start recognizing what is wrong, what is corrupt, what is evil, and totally get rid of it. If we want peace, that's the only way to it. And I don't care whether you're talking about national peace, international peace, provincial peace, personal peace, interpersonal peace, any kind of peace you want. If we don't approach it with peaceful hearts, we're not going to have peace, plain and simple. And consequently, when you see something going on like these trade groups being signed, and you realize that with every signature, a piece of our ability to govern ourselves is going with it, if you don't speak up, you bloody well deserve what you get. And if that means we starve to death by the masses, or are killed by vaccinations, or are herded into FEMA camps, or are EMF'd to death, or whatever, but you know what? They all sat on their butts and did nothing about it. So, what am I supposed to do about it? You know, what are the rest of us who have spotted this stuff, broken our butts to get the information to people, what are we supposed to do about that? Besides go, oh well, because I'll tell you, you know it as well as I do. You start taking responsibility for what people do with the information you share with them, they're going to be hauling you off in a cookie truck for real. You're going to need one for real. It will drive you crazy to take on responsibility for what the rest of the world does with the truth that you share with the people who listen to you.
I'm not sure exactly what you were saying. You were saying that then you need to be carried off in a
cookie truck, as in to the funny farm.
Yeah, that's what
okay?
I thought.
Because you'll drive yourself crazy taking responsibility for what the sleeping can't do while they're asleep.
Yeah.
You see, so you know, activists are in a rather odd position these days. Having seen what is, they can see the tsunami coming, and nobody wants to get off the beach. And
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? When the activists start disappearing, you know it's coming. Because that's the point at which the guys go, I see that tsunami. I'm not staying here and drowning because they are. And those you will see them disappear as quickly as possible by their own energy and efforts. You know, they'll be using their bug-out bags and heading to the hills and hoping that they can at least delay the inevitable. Because inevitably what Agenda 21 wants is they don't want anybody living outside the cities.
Yeah, no, they don't, do they?
Nope, they don't.
No, that's what I see, too.
That means that, you know, you can find yourself a nice remote spot. They find you, they're going to make you move. One way or another, they're going to make you move. Because that's what they want. And this is the extent to which they are basically directing our lives, people. And, you know, and you go to work every morning. You get up 7:30 in the morning. You get out the door by 8:15. You get in your car. You drive through traffic. You get to work. You work there all day. You produce all kinds of money for the company you work for. You get a pittance against that. Then you have to pay a great big fat chunk of that back to the government for the privilege, of breaking your butt. Then I have all that money spent on wars.
Yeah, they would have it all spent on wars. Were you aware of the UN Agenda 21? They met this year again, didn't they? In Brazil?
They're always meeting.
Oh, yeah, are they?
They're always meeting. Agenda 21 is it came out of the Kissinger era in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Thing we're getting close to the end of the show. There comes the static, right?
Oh, and well, someone's picked up my phone downstairs, I think. I hope there's someone there. Huh?
Yeah, well, I hope they put it down, too, because it's interfering here.
Yeah, it really is.
In fact, it's really bad.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
That phone's back on the hook, eh? Oh, there's no phone off the hook? Oh.
Hello?
It's gone now. There was something off the hook.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Well, thanks, Dee. You really shared the day and really took me along on your trips. And wow, we really have pretty serious problems.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My armchair journeys. I never leave home. I almost never leave home except to go shopping. But I mean, it is quite a journey. It's surprising to me every time I turn around. What gets me is the simplicity of the mechanisms. And of course, as usual, we can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we look at the little details, and we're not stepping back and looking at the whole forest and seeing how it's being chopped down from outside because we're too busy examining the leaves on one of the trees that hasn't been touched yet. And in the meantime, we are selfishly motivated to take care of our own butt first. And the interesting thing is, while we're doing that, we are forgetting exactly how intertwined our own butts are with everybody else's butt. You know? It's like, I'm sorry, honey, but if the grocery store comes and closes down the street from you, you're either going to have to find a new store or you're going to have to grow your own. You're going to have to do something because that store is closed. It's not your source anymore, and it's not going to care what social strata you come from.
Yeah.
It's not going to care.
Right.
It's not going to care whether you work in the tech field or whether you're a garbage man or a truck driver or a lawyer or a philosopher or a blogger or a medical person. It's not going to care. It is non-selective. And all these people who think that they're in elite professions and they have money coming in, their professions aren't protected. Okay? Just to take a note on things, Obamacare is going to tell every doctor in the United States what they can make as an income.
Wow.
I'm waiting for the backlash on that one, because there goes Wednesday afternoon golf. You know, and maybe, and now that people are noticing that these doctors are going all on these junkets to foreign shores and having these massive so-called conventions hosted by pharma.
Oh, are they?
And people are getting aware of that now. A lot of stuff starting to go by the boards. Well, bring it down to a baser reality. Something either serves you or it doesn't. If it doesn't, why in the blue blazes would you hang on to it? If it serves you, you're going to hang on to it and take care of it. Okay, it's just like having two cars. One's a Jaguar, the other one's a Junker. Which one do you put in the garage?
The Jaguar, I think.
Of course. Because the bigger service to you, the bigger investment, the one that serves you the best, the one that gives you the most of what you want out of a vehicle, is the one that you protect. Well, the thing that we have done here is we've left our Jaguars in the street to be vandalized, peed on, keyed, have their tires slashed, have their parts reduced to nada, leaving us a stinking junk heap, and the only car that we'll be able to get around in is the Junker.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what's going on. You want an analogy? That works for me. That works for me.
I wondered, Dee, we're coming down to the close of the meeting. I wondered if you had any websites you wanted to give out. Or...
Well, actually, you've caught me in a bit of a state of flux, Christopher,
okay.
Because I've just resigned from the NHS.
I saw that, yeah.
I resigned because, quite frankly, I did not find the support coming from one certain individual who's in charge of things in the NHS. I found great support from others who were saying that, you know, they appreciated my position and everything else. There should have been a lawsuit emanating out of the use by Natural Health Freedom Canada of the NHS acronym, NHF Canada. They still use it with impunity. But the NHF has decided, without informing me, that they were going to drop that lawsuit because they couldn't afford to pay for it. And, of course, without that clarification going on, I don't have a group to build. So I have left the NHF, and at this point in time, I've decided no more groups. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up, I think, probably a blog site. And I'm going to continue to be posting to my list, which is very, very large, commenting on a number of other sites. And I am hoping to work with examiner.com in the near future.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, I'm trying to get the word out the best I can. But what I found is every time I'm involved with a group, they always go to local issues. And the local issues aren't the head of the snake. The local issues are the venom of the snake. And if we want that venom to stop, the snake's head has to be cut off. So I do not feel that I'm doing anyone a service by applying my skills and talents to things that aren't going to help. You know, you can't approach the government when the government is usurped by trade groups. You can't lobby your government and say, we want this, when your government has no power to give it to you, even if it wants to.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the biggest difficulty I see, is that all of these other groups that I'm familiar with are all trying to get what they want out of the Canadian government or out of the American government, and both of them are gagged and bound by these trade groups, and they cannot see that you can't lobby bound and gagged and kidnapped people. It's not going to help you.
Okay, so for the moment then, next week, you hopefully by next week or the week after, you'll have a log site that people could log into.
Well, in the next little while. Now, bear in mind, I'm going through a few fluxes in my personal life as well, including having to move from a place where I've parked my butt for 18 years. I don't have to move immediately, but I'm going to have to be, you know, looking for a place and trying to sustain myself because there's no money in any of this either.
I know.
You do all this
terrible
work.
I know.
And you try and help other people, and it's, gee, well, I'd rather have an ice cream cone than help those people.
I know.
You know, so it's like, what do? Do I quit and go back to work for somebody else, make a living wage while there's one to be made, and to hell with everything? Or does my conscience and my integrity force me to do something else?
Yeah.
So this is the situation I've been sitting in, and a lot of these things are getting sorted out. So over the next little while, state of flux, we'll come to some kind of rationale.
Great. Okay. And we're almost down to the end time. I'm going to just say a few things for 0 point. Just encourage people out there to please have a look at my site at 0point.ca. And I have a number of my books up there, as well as some writings on the New World Order. And I guess that's about it. I think we're almost down to the last 5 minutes. Dee, do you have any final things you wanted to say? And then we'll let you go, and then I'll go after.
Well, I'd say that...
One minute only. I'm sorry. I need to...
Okay, that's it. That's good.
That's fine. I would say, Christopher, I'm going to take a page from your book. Okay, I'm going to take a page from your book and say that it is time for people to open up their hearts and listen to what their heart says. They've had too much data crammed into their minds to make logical decisions. It's time to feel for what's right.
Yeah.
Feel for it. It's in you. It's there. You're built that way. Christopher's proved it time and time again on this very show.
Ah, great. Thanks, Steve. Okay, so thanks all, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Dee and Christopher back on 0 point Radio.
And
thank
thanks
you all
for this, Christopher. Thanks for allowing me to rant like this.
Yeah, it was fun, Dee.
It was
really fun.
Now let's let our people at BBS have the air again, and we will see everybody in 2 weeks, hopefully. And thanks again.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.